Well, imagine a ladder. Your ladder is the ladder of work, you know, success. Maybe you're in school, you know, to do your best. That ladder's calling to you. You will find significance. Climb up each rung. There will be success. You will be great. So we climb. We do the hard work. We pay the price. Many of us here today maybe have done that. There's a price to be paid for all the hard work and success maybe you've attained. But we find out with every rung that we've attained that there's struggles, there's strained relationships, there's regrets, too many compromises, bad habits. Well, let's think about another ladder. Maybe your ladder is leisure. Just can't wait to climb that one. Oh, I want me time. I want the downtime. And that ladder calls to you. Go first. You deserve it. It's your time. If it gets too tough at work or at home or, you can climb. You can climb. Thinking at least I have my me time. At least I have my hobbies. At least I have my social media to keep up to date and to track. But in regards to that one, you know, you end up just learning more about all your Facebook folks than, you know, more about them than the hurts and the dreams of loved ones, family members, those God has put in your circle of influence close by you. We think this ladder may alleviate some pressures, the leisure, when all it does is intensify it. Well, and you can think of other ladders to climb, but when it comes to greatness, you know, is it about climbing the ladder? Yeah, we know it's not. But some of it is. You're supposed to do well and make money and be successful and want kids to work hard in school because it's going to relate to their work, and we want them to take care of us one day, right? That's my joke with Auric. He's my retirement. My son. Well, we consider Jesus. He entered into our world and modeled a greatness by descending into it, if you will. He came from the highest of the heights to love, to bend low. To bend low, to serve the least, the lost, the last. And as believers, as Christians, God has a calling on our life. Doesn't He? He has a call on our life to follow the footpaths, the footsteps of Jesus. As I read earlier for the baptism, we are given His authority to go into the world, to engage with people in our circles of influence, to bless them with the presence, the love, and the power of Christ, to make disciples that more and more might follow Jesus. What will it take to do this, to bring our world to Christ this next year? Well, maybe a few people, maybe a few of those 3 to 5 on our prayer lists. What will it take? The answer is a deeper commitment to follow the pattern that Jesus gave us. He's the one who descended into this life, who bowed low to serve. Jesus gave us a pattern. We're to walk in His footsteps. Consider the word bless, and I didn't get this from the denominational literature. This I thought of on my own. Profound. If you take bless and you remove the B, what is it? Less, hey. So what will it take, this deeper commitment? Less of our own desires and wants, accomplishments, less of our own comfort or recognition or our agenda, and more of what we've been called to do. Making and deepening disciples, more of the Spirit filling us. Transforming our life, becoming more aware of God working in the lives of people around us, Bring me more awareness of that, Lord. I know I'm on social media all the time, but I got to catch up there. But show me, I want more awareness of where you're working around me. And then taking more steps of faith toward them to bless them. You know, we're not twisting arms. We're not hitting people over the head with a Bible. We're just loving them. We want to bless them because God has blessed us and given us a faith in Christ that has changed our life. Now, the Apostle Paul, you know, he wrote the letter to the Romans. It was read for us earlier. He starts off chapter 10 with a hope and a prayer for the lost people of Israel. And it's for the Gentiles too, because he was sent to the Gentiles mainly. But that God would someday open their hearts so that they would accept Christ for who he is, the Son of God. God had changed Paul's mind about Jesus some time before this. He came to faith. He followed his calling. This thing's always doing flips on my ear. Paul's heart was aligned with God's heart. His mind was bound to the will and purposes of God. Paul had a focus. And we hear this in verse 1. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for them is their salvation. And then he does go through, I'm not going to go through all that, but he speaks of a righteousness, you know, a right standing with God. That's what God wants us to have, is a right standing with him. Not based on works that we can achieve that, but based on faith. Come on, behave now. I'll put this up too, just in case it's going out. You know, righteousness based on faith. Confessing with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead. You know, it's simple faith. That's what saves us. Simple faith. That's what makes us right with God. Paul's own ministry, his mandate to the church there, is to bring their world to Christ. Keep it simple. Not with theological discussions or debates. Just simple faith. And Romans 10, it reveals God's willingness to answer. You know, when people call upon his name, God will answer. God will answer when anyone, any lost or undone human being, calls out for him with all their heart. That is seen as a step of faith. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. Paul was in that spot not too long before. He met Christ on the Damascus Road. He was blind for 3 days. And someone was told to go to, I think it was Ananias maybe, go to Paul, go to Saul. I'm not going to him. He's he'll kill me. He's a persecutor. No, he's praying. You know, Paul's first prayers were calling upon the name of the Lord for mercy. So he was in that spot. And he had met many others searching for God as well. He gave them the opportunity to believe that Jesus is Lord, to call upon his name. And in three places, this calling upon his name is repeated, verses 12 through 14. All who call upon him first, then anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And then this third one is key for us this morning, to be on our mission, to follow in the footpaths of Jesus. It's a great question. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And then he goes on, how will they believe in him if they have not heard of him? How will they hear unless someone speaks? How will anyone speak unless they are sent? And then you got to love verse 15. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Do you have beautiful feet? I definitely don't. We're called to bring the good news to those around us. Sharing it, displaying it, living it out every day. Beautiful are your feet and mine if we do so. Well, the Hebrew word for beautiful is nahad. It does not mean pretty or cute, though. It means suitable. It means appropriate. Used as designed. Perfectly fitting. It's what God had in mind for our feet. Like grapes were meant to be eaten and flowers to be colorful and provide scent to the world. Your feet are designed to go places. We walk. And when they go into the world of men and women with a message of good news and peace with God, through Jesus Christ, God calls them beautiful. You know, your feet may take you faster down the road or down a track than mine would take me. You may have big shoes that cannot be filled. You may be able to kick the ball farther than anyone else. Or you may have a disability, some paralysis in a foot. But all that means nothing in the eternal frame. But if your feet take you to someone in need, and with God's help you enable him or her to believe, then your feet are being used for a purpose that matters for all eternity. Those feet are beautiful. Not the beauty that we think of. It's the beauty of the message that we bear, both in words and in deeds, our actions that speak to the love of God for all people. As they say, if we're going to talk the talk, we've got to walk the walk. And we walk with our feet. And in verse 9 of Romans 10 there, we fulfill this walking and this obedience by confessing what we believe. What do we believe? We need to share that. Verse 9, believing in one's heart is not the same as simply thinking something is true. It makes us people like, you know, Abraham and Sarah way back, who hope against hope, who do not weaken or waver. I mean, they were told they were going to have a son who became Isaac, you know, maybe 24, 25 years before it happened. But they hope against hope, do not weaken or waver in the face of life's greatest challenges. It makes us people who believe and trust God in the core of our being. When God hears our cries and our calls, He reaches out to us. So we seek to embody that trust in the choices we make every day. Philosopher Charles Peirce said this, a belief is something on which we are willing to act. We're willing to act. If we believe in our heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, we act then as if death does not have the last say on life. As if God is a God of life. As if no matter how rough the road, God will hear when you cry out and also when those who are searching call out because there's life. God wants to bring life where there's death and dying, spiritual need in any of our lives. Confessing Christ. Is there any way to be a Christian and not confess Christ? I don't think so. I don't think there is. And not only telling others about our faith, spreading the good news, but also we need to confess Christ in every aspect of our lives. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. Really, in every aspect of our lives? We are a testimony to Christ in all that we do. That is why it is so important to always reflect Christ in all that we say and all that we do. How is my life, how is your life reflecting God's love today? Christ's sacrifice. Are we revealing and sharing Christ in our actions? You know, our identity is not about climbing that ladder of success. It's not found in the rungs. But being Christ-like is actually opposite. It's coming down. Another key passage will help explain this. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. The servant identity of Jesus is expressed in these verses. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself. Taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness,
and being found in human form, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You know, this describes that though he was God, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, our great God came down the ladder, became a human being, became a servant. This is the mindset that we need to have, no matter where we are, what we're doing. It's not the rungs of the ladder defining us. No, it's to be the servant, the mindset of Christ. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. In John 13, at the Last Supper, Jesus truly revealed this before going to the cross, dying for our sins, when he washed the disciples' feet. He washed their feet. He was teaching them. His heart is revealed the same way our hearts are revealed through actions. Our actions speak volumes. To one disciple at a time, Jesus exhibited servanthood, washing their feet. All of them would desert him. There was one who denied him and one who betrayed him. And he washed their feet. He loved them to the end. He got on his knees and served everyone, everywhere, always. How about us, empowered by the Spirit? Can we follow in those footsteps? Bending low and serving, washing people's feet, maybe not literally, but figuratively? Can we serve the people who didn't vote the way we did? No way, we're not going to do that. We're supposed to. How about, can we serve the people who don't believe the way we do? Can we serve the people who don't like us? Maybe who have hurt us or who have rejected our message of love? A servant heart. Let the same mind be in you. You know, that servant heart says, I don't know whose fault this mess is, but you know what? I'm going to step up. I'll take the hit for it. Because that's what Jesus did for us. Let the same mind be in you. You know, it's by faith and through our own baptism that we have died with Christ. We've been raised with him. We've been seated with him, co-heirs with Christ by faith. And by faith, we can have the same mind of Christ. That the very thoughts and feelings and purposes of his heart would be in our thoughts, leading to action. Our feet bound to the paths of righteousness, to be bearers of good news. Blessed minus B equals what? Less. Less is more. May we choose to decrease, that Christ will increase, that our world would see him in us. Take those lists every day, those blessed lists. Begin with prayer. And I love the, each letter, listen with care. Pay attention to their dreams and pain and look for evidence of God's work in them. Eat together. Take them out. Take them to your home. And we can't say enough. Everyone needs to bring a friend or steer a friend to Alpha. Now's the time. Now's the time. A week from Thursday it begins. And then, you know, and the S, serve them. First S, serve them in Christ's love and then share your story when the time is right. We join God. He is bringing our world to Christ, one or two at a time each year. Beautiful are your feet if you do so. Amen.